on and give it up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You may be seated. What a great night it's been tonight. I have enjoyed it already. I was listening in the back and it drew me to the front, and I'm just having a good time along with you. I was scared you were going to get more glory than I was. I had to come out and be in the atmosphere. Tell somebody, say, I'm greedy. Give me a little bit more on here if you can. I kind of did something different, put it in my pocket. I might have messed it up. Okay. A couple of things. I love our folks. We just love you. A couple of things I want to share with you that's back in the lobby that I think is worthwhile. If you haven't picked up a copy of Let It Go, I encourage you to do it. It's a book on forgiveness. It's hard work, but it's worth doing. If you let go of the negativity, you will be free to embrace positivity. Forgiveness is a gift that you give yourself. It does not exonerate the perpetrator. It doesn't mean that they didn't violate a principle. It just means that you have too much in front of you to allow yourself to be tied to what is behind you. Tell somebody and say, let it go. So I want to encourage you to take advantage of that opportunity and pick up that material in the back. I've got a relationship Bible that deals with every aspect of relationship, for your relationship with yourself. I have found our mayor in Dallas is doing something against domestic violence, and I made a statement to him that seemed to resonate with him. I said, I've never seen a man who beat his wife and liked himself. Your first relationship is with yourself. If you don't love yourself, you can't love anybody else. Amen. So you got to learn how to love yourself, embrace yourself, appreciate all that is inside of you. So we deal with everything for how to relate to yourself, how you relate to God, how you relate to other people, your relationship with money, how to relate to people you don't like. There are all kinds of articles mixed in the Word of God, special passages for you to reach to enhance your relationships. It's all about relationships. Everything is about relationship. The kingdom of God advances amongst friends. Amen. People won't do business with you if they don't like you. Personality is power. And if you don't learn how to have a better relationship, you can have all the skill set you want to. But many times you will be locked out of opportunities because you don't know how to relate. So just let me help you with that. And this one, I saved it for last because I'm going to do something subsequent to this, but this will be the opening dialogue. And this message was really the catalyst of opening so many doors for me. It's talking about live on purpose. And I want to challenge you not to waste your lifespan living your life out according to the dictates of other people. You want to live on purpose. There is a purpose you are on the planet. You are not just a spot of protoplasm squirted out into this world. God had an agenda when you came into the world. You were saved for such a time as this. There are some mighty things that God wants to do in your life. You will never be fulfilled. I don't care how wealthy you are. I don't care how accomplished you are. I don't care how churchy you are. I don't care how deep you are. I don't care how spiritual you are. I don't care if you fast till you look like Twiggy. If you don't... Now, you know you're old when you know who Twiggy is. So the young people are talking about Twiggy. The old people are talking about Twiggy. I hadn't heard it for a long time. Until you find your purpose and live on purpose, you will not be fulfilled. And this will help you to begin to locate that. I want to mention that to you. Come get this and run out there and give it to somebody who acts like they're going to do something with it. Amen. Hey, man, I'm so glad we got insurance on you. You like to got beat up back there. Before I get started, I don't say this. Come on, yeah, help me. I'm having a wardrobe malfunction up here. I think I messed myself up putting it in the pocket, put it back on the belt. Yeah, because I sound like Louis Armstrong. Okay. Before I get into what I want to share with you tonight, and I don't say this in a gratuitous way or just because it is protocol to do so, I really do think that your pastor is one of the smartest and brightest men I have ever met. is just brilliant. And you have to realize, if you have been given, if God has taken all of that brilliance and all that creativity and all that gifting and given it to you, you have a responsibility to harvest in your life the benefit of having received such an illustrious gift. The problem with the church today is that many times when God gives very, very gifted people to us, we really enjoy them. We love them. We support them. We don't have a problem with that. But it's much like eating at grandma's house. You love the cooking. Everybody runs over there to eat, but nobody got the recipe. We like to watch people do what they do rather than learn how to do what they do. And then we lose the opportunity to maximize the benefit of being exposed to such an incredible gift. So anytime God gives somebody to you, exposes somebody to you, that means God has seeded into your destiny that person's entire life, and so that your harvest ought to exceed your seed. But if all you do is sit up and look at the seed and never use it for its ultimate purpose, plant it down into the treasures of your inner being, you won't maximize your potential. And then when he's gone, you'll be talking about what a wonder he was, but nobody learned the recipe. Let's learn the recipe tonight. Okay? Woo, what a joy. It is good. I came out there and Valerie, I told her, I said, you're wrong for that. See, women can do stuff that men can't do. I could do what she did, but it wouldn't look right. See, that was a tough act to follow, you know. She got to stomping and walking and running, and you could see her behind those guys with the gun. See? Couldn't you just see that? Yeah. That, I saw the women going crazy about that. But the men looked kind of nervous when you was in that section right there. The men are for gun control, especially if a woman got one. Let the men say amen. I am blessed and honored to be here tonight. I'll also be sharing in the morning as well. I may not conclude everything that I want to share tonight. That's okay, because you're stuck with me for another day. I am going to direct your attention to a scripture, not to the intent that we might totally exegete the text, but to use the text as a tapestry on which we can plant ideas in your mind for the furtherance of your development. If you came into this conference tonight, you didn't come to be entertained. And you may shout, but you didn't come to shout. This is the kind of meeting that only forward-thinking people would attend. Yeah, you have to have a certain level of progressiveness to want to be in this room. There's something on your mind, something you want to do, something you want to enhance, something you want to accomplish. So I won't use this as an opportunity necessarily to run a revival, because I assume that you have the spirituality and the fortitude that is necessary. But there, sometimes you can have the spirituality and the fortitude that is necessary to walk with God, but still have a question mark as it relates to your destiny and dream. How do I produce my ultimate self, my best self, my creative self, my self that God put me in the earth to accomplish? I am here to help you with that tonight. Somebody praise the Lord right now. So though I will use a text from which I will extrapolate ideas, I use the text for the purpose of mining ideas, and I'm going to plant them in your head, and I want you to listen for relevant information that you can use through the lens of this text. And this particular text is a story that the master rabbi used himself to teach a principle. The text is not important, it is a parable. Whenever you see a parable, the text is not important. The truth from the text is important. The parable is just an illustration of a greater idea. Are you ready? Okay, we're gonna go to Matthew 25, 14, 29. You don't have to shout, but when you find it, grunt, belch, cough, hiccup, let me know you are with me. Matthew 25, 14 through 29. While you're turning, I want to invite you to our International Pastors and Leadership Conference, April 25th through the 27th, where John Maxwell and myself, along with my wife, Dr. Walter Thomas, Dr. Steve Perry, and a host of others, including my staff and team, is going to help develop your staff and team. Because it doesn't matter how great of a leader you are, if you don't have the infrastructure up under you to fulfill your destiny, you will have all kinds of creative ideas that die in a coal furnace of a staff that doesn't understand where you're at. So if you go up and receive great ideas and come back with great inspiration and face a team that's dancing naked around the calf, you will never accomplish what you were created to do, and you will have to put a veil over your destiny, not because you didn't see or hear from God, but because the people who are under you did not see or hear what you saw. So I want to encourage you to take the time to be a part of that. And then Labor Day weekend, we're bringing MegaFest to Dallas, and Joel Osteen, myself, and a host of others, I won't go through all of those names, are going to be there taking over Dallas. And you say, where in Dallas? I said, Dallas. We're going to take over the whole city. Yeah. We got to stop having addresses and locations. Just take over the entire city. Hashtag big ideas. Let's go with it. Matthew 25, 14, when you have it, let me hear you. Yeah. Oh, yeah. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Watch closely. He called his servants, one translation says slaves, and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents. To the other slave he gave 2. To the other slave he gave 1. To every man according to his several ability. And straightway he left. Then he that had received 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5. So now he's got 10. Likewise, he that received 2, he also gained the other 2. Now he's got 4. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with him. And so he that received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee rule over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He that received 2 said, same thing, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, you cool too. Enter into the joy of the Lord. That's Jake's translation, but that's what it means. Here come this other brother down there. I said, Dad, Lord, what had happened was, you know, I know how hard you is, and you got a reputation of reaping where thou hast not sown, and you such a hard businessman, gathering where thou hast not strong. I was kind of nervous, you know. I was afraid, Lord, yeah. But I got what you gave me. Lord said, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strown. Thou oughtest therefore to put my money to the exchangers. Then at my coming I should have received mine with usury interest. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto the guy where I'm getting the biggest return. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he seemeth to have. Somebody say amen. Father, we thank you for your word. It is the template, it is the guide, it is the compass through which we set the plumb line of destiny. We would ask thee, oh God, to speak through your word, not just that we might understand your word, but that we might understand our purpose in the earth. We are not here to give vain recitations nor to impress people with our ability to expound the word of God, but to use the word of God as a recipe to destiny. Now speak, Lord, for thy servant hears in Jesus' name. Somebody give him a praise. I was in the back, and the moment I came in and I saw Sister Val speaking, I was affixed to the television set because I was just so impressed with who she is as a businesswoman's first opportunity to hear her speak and address a crowd. And I was awed by it. She talked about having a ledger and having the business acumen and all of that skill is not enough. And that is so true. It's important. You got to have it. If you get there without it, you'll have to trust other people to do the business, which is dangerous. So you do need to be able to have it, but it is not enough alone. And she brought that out so well. I'm going to get in a crack and a crevice, something quite different from what you might get in church traditionally, and still somewhat different from what you would get in the university. I'm going to talk on a series of ideas that I have been sharing called the instinct to increase. The instinct to increase. The instinct to increase. About 9 or 10 years after apartheid, I was invited by the first black billionaire in South Africa to come to South Africa to speak in a very small setting to a group of billionaires who wanted to be mentored as they were the first generation of black billionaires following the apartheid and the changing of the law of the ANC. They now entered into a business realm for which they were not always familiar or embraced and had to function in that environment. The very first black billionaire was a gentleman named Patrice Motsepe. And Patrice Motsepe, at the end of my lecturing in South Africa, as a benefit to my wife and I, sent me out to a mansion that J. Paul Getty owns in the middle of the bush. Yeah, in the middle of the bush. I was excited about going, but we had to take a little small crop duster plane to get out there where all the elephants and lions and tigers and all of that stuff were kept in a fenced-in area. I was excited till I saw that there was no airport at all, and there was no lights out there, and there was a rhinoceros that walked across the strip. And made me a little bit nervous, but I continued on. I got out there to this illustrious mansion and spent several days out there and went on a safari with a couple of guides out there, which for me was an incredible experience. I won't bore you with all of the details, but I went on a safari that lasted until way up into the night, and it was incredible. I mean, just all the major animals, giraffes and lions and just everything imaginable, elephants out there and rhinoceroses, what have you out there, and we lived amongst them. I woke up in the morning, we had breakfast outside of our chalet, and we would have breakfast out there, and the elephants were about 100 yards for us, throwing water over their back. It's just beautiful, amazing, absolutely incredible. I went on the safari. My wife chose not to go, but it was eventful. I think she didn't go because we stayed out till late at night and the guides cut out all the lights and shined the flashlight into the woods, and there were all these eyes staring back at us, and she didn't feel led to go. My point was, it was in fact an amazing, incredible experience for me, because we had the benefit of having a guide who had a PhD and understood all of the bone structure and the tendencies of the different animals and what these various animals descended from. And it was very educational to have him. One guy is a PhD who's sitting on the truck with us with a shotgun and flashlight going with us. And the other guy who was sitting out on the edge of the Jeep, well, he didn't have a PhD. I'm not sure that he could read or anything. He was a Zulu. He was a Zulu, which is a particular tribe in Africa. He was a Zulu who was very familiar with the route. So as the PhD is telling me about the bone structures of the various animals and the reproductive mechanisms of the various animals and how the animals function in various climates, attitudes, and situations, it became quite clear that he was an intellect, that he was very well-trained and very astute at what he did. But when we got ready to track the elephants, it was the Zulu who said, "The elephants are over there." Yeah. And for me, it was an amazing experience to sit in between intellect and instinct. As much appreciation as I had for great intellect and how inspired and awed I was by the professor's ability to give us the historicity of the various animals, I found out that ultimately, when it came to survival out there in the jungle, it was the elephant is over here. So I want you to understand that while it is wonderful for you to be intellectually endowed enough that you can do whatever you are sent to the earth to do, there are some advancements that are only done through instinct. The right thing at the wrong time will lead to failure. If Colonel Sanders had tried to open up a KFC today, it wouldn't be nearly as effective as it was at a time when women first went back to work and families were used to hot meals and they needed them fast. You have to do the right thing at the right time. You don't learn that in a textbook. You don't get that in a course. You don't get that in a manual. You get that out of your gut. You get that out of your belly. You get the instinct out of the very inside of you. But in this busy, hustle-bustle world that we live in today, we are often so busy that we don't have the calm space to mine the treasure of our own creativity. The noise is so loud around you that you can't hear what your spirit is saying, and it is ultimately that instinct that is going to guide you into your purpose. Yeah. And Dr. Winston is wise enough to bring into you not only people that have been successful, because you can find them a dime a dozen, but people who had good instincts to do the right thing at the wrong time. So it might not be wise for you to follow some CEOs with a gun trying to get a franchise. You might get arrested. I just thought I'd throw that in. You want to do the right thing at the right time, and in order to do that, you have to have a sense of instinct. Are you with me so far? Let's practice this. Look at somebody on the right and the left and say, I have the instinct to increase. Now, we're going to say that whether you do or not, we're going to say it by faith. That's the great thing about faith. You can call those things that are not as though they were, which in the world it would be a lie, but in the church it's faith. Yeah. You're calling it into existence, whether you feel it or not. Give me the instinct to increase. Now, in order to appreciate what I'm going to share with you and what I'm going to extrapolate out of the text today, you must first understand the societal environment in which the text is taken. It is not democracy, so leave your Western mind at home as we go into this text. It is a prerequisite for you to understand that this text is taken from a time and a world that had a caste system. A caste system suggests we have no obligation to rise up the disenfranchised, the impoverished, the lower echelons of life. You are born into a particular class, and you either are or you are not. It does not flaunt itself like a democracy to the ideology that we have some obligation to those that are less fortunate than us. There's no guilt in a caste society. You are either royalty or you're not. You're either there or you're not. You're either master or you're slave. So with that thought in mind, Jesus now embarks on the mission of talking to a group of people about a system that has been set in place between the slave and the master. And the very fact that the master would have a conversation with the slave is amazing. Because there is a great gulf between the lifestyle of the master and the lifestyle of the slave. That's what makes this text so audacious, if you please, because the master has engaged in conversation with the slave. It is the backdrop through which Christ wants us to understand that we have a God whose thoughts are above our thoughts, ways above our ways, as high as the heavens are above the earth, and yet he has engaged himself in a conversation through his word with the slave. Jesus now tells this story that can I take a little time because I need to set this up? Jesus now tells this story because it is about class. It is about finance. It is about culture. But ultimately, it's about instinct. The master has spoken to the slave and has given unto them. He has said to the slave, he said, I'm going to give you. To one he gave five, to one he gave two, and to the other one he gave one. Okay, this is the impetus through which you're going to discover your instinct. You cannot find your instinct until you acknowledge the fact that you who had nothing has been given something. So what I want you to just confess, I'm gifted. That means that whatever I have, I can't brag about it or be arrogant about it because I didn't earn it. I didn't pick it out. I'm just gifted. Gifted with a mind to remember, gifted with the mind to create, gifted with the personality, gifted. Gifted goes beyond. Now, it's a gift in that lady that sang tonight. There's no questions about that. That is gifted. But because the church has a tendency to parade speaking gifts and singing gifts and musical gifts, if you don't fit into those categories, you have a tendency not to recognize that there are many other gifts. Even beyond the nine spiritual gifts, there are gifts. It's a gift. I always laugh at people who are real nice looking, real handsome, real pretty, and they walk around. Just the ones that are arrogant, I laugh at them because they act like they picked out that stuff. Because now, if you would put us in the grocery store of assembly parts, all of us would have come out fine. The truth of the matter is, whatever you have, you didn't pick it out. It was just given to you. You might enhance it, you might develop it, you might work out with it, you might know how to dress it up, but the ultimate core essence of the gift is just given to you. You are gifted. Whether it's a smile, whether it is charisma, whether it is presence or stage or intellectualism, you are gifted. You are gifted. Education may enhance it, but it does not create it. Education may develop it, but it is not the impetus through which it all begins. It begins with the acknowledgement of the fact that you are gifted. And whoever gets you gets a gift. Whatever you join, whatever company you work for, whatever business you start, whatever church you join, whoever you marry, whoever you date, whoever you see, whatever committee you get on, whatever board you get on, when you walk in the door, your gift comes in the door too. You are gifted. I want you to get this in your head because Satan spends all of his time showing you your faults, your flaws, your vulnerabilities, your weaknesses, and your sins. He will never underscore your giftings. But you are gifted. Say, I am gifted. My God, whoever gets you gets a gift. A multidimensional gift. Because as you evolve and develop and grow and get opportunity, that gift will bud and blossom and bring forth fruit. You are not at the end of your giftings. Paul says, I pray that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of his inheritance in the saints. Meaning that God put something in the saints, that the master gave something to the slave, and all of a sudden the slave is gifted. Now, not ownership, I grant you, but stewardship nonetheless. The slaves had been gifted with something that they did not own, but they had control over. You have been gifted. It is no good for me to teach you about instincts if you cannot find the gift. If your low self-esteem and fear, vulnerability, insecurity, past records and past mistakes has thrown dirt on top of your gifts, then instincts will do you no good. You've got to get a shovel and dig all of that garbage and waste away from you so that you can walk in the door with your head up and your back straight and your shoulders stretched back, knowing that when I walk in the room, you just got something. When I show up, you just got some. If I take you on a date, baby, you got a gift. If I choose to join your company is going to be in hand. If I join a church, I'm an asset, not a liability. Oh, y'all don't hear me. I am gifted. Touch everybody around and say, I'm gifted. I'm gifted. I'm just gifted. I'm gifted. I'm gifted. I'm gifted. You scared to say it. You're intimidated to say it. It's until you can acknowledge that, you will spend all of your life trying to find somebody to see something in you that you don't see in yourself. And if they love you the way they want to love you, you will reject that love because you disagree with it. You will reflect it. You won't attract it. You will dodge it, not draw it, because you don't agree with it. You've got to get it down in your heart. And then when somebody else says it, you nod your head. I am gifted. All three slaves had been gifted, given something that they did not earn. Given something that they had no control over, given something that they didn't work for, they were in their core, they had simply been gifted. Just gifted. You can walk into an empty room and see things that aren't even there. Some of you can just sense the deal. You can just sense it. You just been gifted. Some of you can do deals behind people that other people rejected the same idea from because they did not have the charisma to project the ideology. You don't even understand what that thing is that you got, but you have been gifted. The one thing that is clear, even if the brother had not explained to us what the language meant in German, the one thing he did not have to explain is that he is because one thing you know whenever anybody gets up to do anything, you know when you are in the presence of a gift. And truly gifted people know other gifted people when they see them. Oh my God. Now let's look at the different gifts. To one he gave five, to one he gave two, and to one he gave one. So they are not equally gifted. But they are all gifted. They're not equally gifted. 5, 2, and 1. 5, 2, 1. 8. If you add them up, it's 8. New beginnings. The new beginning starts when you recognize the gift. To one he gave 5, to one he gave 2, and to one he gave 1. They don't have the same amount. No commonality there. They're not the same people. There's no commonality there. He wasn't being fair, because if he was being fair, he would have divided the gifts equally. It was just, but it wasn't fair. God is just, but he isn't fair. The impetus of the decision and the disparity of the amount of gifting is given in the text. For it said, to one he gave 5, to the other he gave 2, the third one he gave 1, each on his ability. So the distinctions in the level of the gifting is based on the capacity of the person who received the gift. He didn't give 5 gifts to a 1 person. Or 2 gifts to a person who had the potential of mastering 5. He gave each one giftings on the level of his ability. So it says that your capacity is a consideration in the dispensation of the levels of gift. So we are commanded not to covet our neighbor's gifts, because the gift is dispensed according to the capacity of the person to handle that level of gifting. So he gave to one, he gave 5, to one, he gave 2, to one, he gave 1. They weren't the same amounts, no commonality there. They weren't the same people, no commonality there. I like to look for commonalities, ways in which I can bunch ideas, because if you can bunch ideas, you can manage them better. Like people say I'm a preacher because they met me as a preacher. In truth, I am a communicator. Once I dug past a churchy title to the core, I am a communicator. Once I tie all of that together, then books started coming, movies started coming, plays started coming. It's still communication. It's just the diversification of the core gift. Once you find your core gift, then you want to be fruitful and multiply. To one he gave five, to one he gave two. I hope I'm not boring you. To one he gave five, to one he gave two. To the third group he gave one. Each one different amounts, each one different people. There is one commonality. To all he gave an opportunity. So what Dr. Winston wants you to understand in this conference is that we don't all have the same gifts and we don't all have the same capacities, but the one thing that drove everybody in here tonight is that we have an opportunity. The question is, what will you do with the opportunity you have been given? You have heard the testimonies of other people who maximize their opportunities, but don't become bedazzled by the glitter of their testimony till you lose sight of the impetus of the testimony, which instructs you that you have been given something, and what are you going to do with what God has given you? Now somebody say, I got some. Yeah, I got some. I got some. With my fine self, I got some. With my short self, I got something. With my ugly buck tooth self, I still got something. With my overweight self, I got something. With my skinny bony knees, I got something. If you don't see it, it is your loss. But somewhere down in this box, I got something. One gave five, two, and one left. Moves quickly, says, stays a long time, comes back, and asks a question that I want to ask you tonight. What have you done with what God gave you? With the laugh he gave you, with the life he gave you, with the music he gave you, with the creativity he gave you, with the charisma he gave you, with your ability to understand geometry, science, or trigonometry, what have you done? Because when the master returns, he wants accountability based on the capacity that you have been given and the gift that has been dispensed to you. And if you are evil, angry, and bitter, you are evil and angry and bitter because deep down inside you know you have not maximized your opportunity. Hateful people are hateful and bitter and jealous, and what this generation calls haters. They are haters because they have not maximized their own opportunities. It occurred to me while I was on Twitter and Facebook and looking through all of the people who follow me from day to day and time to time, occasionally I will get a hater who comes through. And I'm always fascinated when a hater comes through. I always go back into their biographical sketch so that I can study my haters. I have never been hated on by a successful person in my life. You see, successful people are so busy mining what God put down inside of them that they never have time to be jealous or envious or hate on anybody else. They are trying to produce what God put down inside of them. But people who miss their opportunity have nothing to do but criticize other people because they wasted their opportunity. So help me teach this tonight. Touch everybody you can reach and say, don't waste this opportunity. Don't waste it. Don't waste this opportunity. Don't waste it. 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 Not a day of it. Not a week of it. Not a month of it. Not an hour of it. Not a minute of it. Not a second of it. Whatever it takes, do not waste. This opportunity, man, I gotta put my glasses on and see what time it is. Okay, I'm doing good. How y'all doing out there? You're doing good? So you know you got something. I'm not talking about your job. I may not even be talking about your degree. Because you can have a degree in something that is not it. Many are the people who got a degree based on the courses they needed to take in order to graduate and complete their exercise, and then discover, I got a degree in something that really isn't me. So until you find out what you have been given, being credentialed doesn't make you it. I can send you to theology school, give you credentials, and call you a preacher, but that does not make you it. If you are it, it will enhance it. But if you are not it, it will not create it. You can go to cosmetology school until your fingers have got dye in them. But if you don't have it, so part of your homework is to find out what you got.
Yeah.
I got to find out what I got. I got to discover what I got. So I don't have time to worry about what you got. Because what God gave you will not unlock my destiny. I can only unlock my destiny with what God gave me. So I don't have time to critique what God gave you, because my miracle is not in what God gave you, it is in discovering what God gave me. It occurred to me that it was interesting that though the gifts were not equally dispensed, there was no debate about the inequality. You don't see the guy with one saying, "What's up with this?" In the world did Joe get to? I'm standing out here right beside him, and you gave him two, and you gave, and you go, no, you ain't gonna give him five. The release of increase is never held in the hands of another man. It is in discovering what God gave me. So, like, show me what you're working with. Show me what you're working with. To one he gave five, to one he gave two, to one he gave one. Left, stayed gone a long time, came back and said, show me what you're working with. Show me what you're working with. Brother Five walked up and said, yeah. Check this out. Like when we started out on this mission, Lord, I didn't have but five talents. But while you was gone, I've been working that thing. Yes, I have. I've been working that thing, Lord. I start out with five. Look, check this. I got 10. How you like me now? Brother Two said, move out the way. When we started out on this thing, I had two. I got four. I mean, in my mind, Brother Five said, in his mind said, how are you that happy about four when I got 10? I got 10 and you show up with four and you just as happy. You got the same well done, thou good and faithful servant that I got, even though you got four and I got 10. But what Brother Five must remember is that both of them got 100%. You'll get it by in the morning. See, the goal was not to compete with each other, but to be excellent on your level. See, I don't have to be excellent on Bill Winston's level. I have to be excellent on my level. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. So I'm not trying to compete with your show and what you did. Yes. I'm trying to work that thing that God put down in me. I'm going to be excellent on my level. You need to be excellent on your level. If it's a chicken shack, make it an excellent chicken shack. If it's a rib joint, let it be well painted, well marketed, clean and demonstrated. You have to be excellent on your level. Touch your neighbor and tell them, this is your year to work that thing. You got to work it. You got to work that thing. 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 Whatever God gave you, you got to work that thing. You got to work that thing, baby. You got to work it. Because the real deal is, it'll work if you work it. It will work if you work it. It won't work if you hold it. It won't work if you hide it. It won't work if you don't recognize it. It will only work if you work it. Look at somebody say, I'm getting ready to work that thing. 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 I might have wasted the first half of my life, but this here second half. Ready to work that thing. Touch eight people and say, work that thing. Work, work, work. Work that thing. Work that office. Work that business. Work that company. Work your faith. Work that church. Work that city. Work that politics. Work that business. Work that thing. Work that school. Work that university. Work that thing. It'll work. Who am I talking to? You cannot wish that thing. You gotta work that thing. You can't hope for it. You can't shout for it. You can't dance for it. You got to work that thing. Tell your neighbor, give me some room. I'm getting ready to work that thing. I got 200 members, but I'm getting ready to work that thing. I'm renting the church, but I'm getting ready to work that thing. I'm in a one-bedroom apartment, but I'm getting ready to work that thing. That man you married to that you don't think is any good, another woman could take that man and turn him into a prince because she knows how to. Keep your mind up. That woman that you walked out on and said she'd never be nothing, another man will step in and treat her like the queen she is, because he knows how to. That church you say won't grow because of the city you're in, the devil is a lie. Another preacher will come in there. Somebody say, I'm getting ready to work that thing. ready to work that thing. I'm getting ready to work that thing. I may have to sweat a little bit, but I'm getting ready to work that thing. I may have to go into labor, but I'm getting ready to work that thing. I may have to get out of my shell and talk to people and meet people and take classes and read books and go back to school. But before this is over. Okay, sit down. I gotta hear. I'm almost out of time. I haven't even got to the point yet. So here come brother one. And he says, what had happened was, you see, I know I don't have 10 like the rest of the slave guy, and I don't even have 4 like he got over there. But I still got the one you gave me. See, his problem, he didn't work that thing. He just watched that thing. Are you watching what you ought to be working? Are you a spectator on the stage of your own life? I want to study him. Because sometimes you have to study failure not to be one. So he said, I was afraid. I marked that. Because fear will lock you out of your destiny. What would you do if you were not afraid? What would you build if you were not afraid? What would you write if you were not afraid? Where would you go if you were not afraid? Who would you teach if you were not afraid? What would you market if you were not afraid? Fear is your enemy. You have nothing to fear but fear itself. He's the only one who says I was afraid. Look at what fear made him do. It made him bury his talent and expose his fear. If you're truly going to be great, you got to reverse that principle. You got to bury your fear and expose your talent. If you bury one, you always expose the other. If you bury your gift, you expose your fear. But if you bury your fear, you expose your gift. Get you a shovel and start digging. You got some stuff to bury this year. You got to get out of the box, get out of the cave, get out of your shell, bury your fear. You may have it, but you got to bury it. Everybody has it.
Yes, sir.
But you got to bury it to expose what you got. So let me hear you. Got 5, got 2 and 1, ended up 10 and 4, and brother one. And he, to the other two, he says something that I want you to hear outside of your theological ear. He says, well done, thou good and faithful slave. Enter into the joys of thy master. What? In a caste society? You have invited me to break rank, step across the line, and live like a master. I thought whatever I was born into, I had to stay into. He said, no. If I call you, you can step over and enter into the joy. I don't know who I'm here for, but you're getting ready to shatter glass. You're getting ready to break down walls. You're getting ready to tear down barriers. You're getting ready to enter into another dimension. You weren't born into it, but you're about to step. Seven, give me some room. I'm getting ready to cross the line. I'm getting ready to cross the line up in here. I'm getting ready to go. Sit down. This is, I want to show you why. See, brother one, he pretty much tells him to go to outer darkness. And he talked to brother one so bad. He talked to brother one so bad. Go where there's wailing and gnashing the teeth. And I said, well, now, Lord, why did he talk to him so bad? I said, I read it again, and this is what got me about the text. Uh-huh. He never told them what to do with the gift.
Right.
It's not like he gave them something to say, well, when I come back, this better be multiplied. I'm give you two, but when I come back, you better have four up in here. He just gave 5, 2, 1 and left. Gave them no command. Just gave them opportunity. Gave them no instruction. Just gave them opportunity. Gave them no manual. Just gave them opportunity. This is a test. It is a test of the instinct. The instinct to increase. Brother Five was standing there holding five and said, I could do something with this. Brother Two said, good God Almighty, I could do something with this. Brother One said, oh, you know how he is. When he come back, he gonna have an attitude. Brother Five is a slave.
Yes.
A steward of his master's stuff. Yes. Given nothing but talent and opportunity. The rest of it was purely instinct. Brother Two is a slave. Steward of his master's stuff, given no manual nor manuscript. All he has is a talent and an opportunity. He looks at the two, says, creativity kicked in. Said, if I take this two and I work it like this, I think I could come up with four. Brother One said, ooh, I better be careful. I don't want to mess up getting no trouble. Brother One, you can't go where masters go because you think like a slave. Brother Five and Brother Two, you might have been born a slave, but you can't stay a slave because a slave has to be commanded. A master has instincts. So if you think like a master, you can enter into the joys of your master based on your instinct to increase. I got 1 minute left. What are you overlooking in your life? Relationships, gifts, talents, resources, things that you have been given. Are you babysitting them? Are you running a nursery or a school?
Yes, sir.
If you hire people, test them for instincts. Because you don't want to hire anybody that's not going to multiply your assets. If you're single, don't date anybody that doesn't have good instincts. Because there's nothing worse than being stuck with somebody who has no creativity.
Come on, amen.
I know you got love, but if they don't have creativity, you gonna run out of love. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Look for somebody who can take something and turn it into something else. Look for somebody who can throw down a stick and it turns into something. Look for somebody who can change a situation. Look for somebody who enhances stuff, paints stuff, builds stuff, comes up with ideas that you didn't even command them to do. Find somebody who's got gut root instinct. The reason Bill Gates dropped out of school, he said it was moving too slow. His instincts were faster than his intellect. Intellect.
Yes, sir.
Can I borrow 3 minutes?
Yes, sir.
So, what we got to do, some people got to go dig up what you got. Because you underestimated what he gave you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And you got to, this is what I call it, when I do in my businesses, my movies, my contracts, my businesses, my companies, all of my assets, I lay them all out and I stare at them. You need some staring time. Staring doesn't just look at what it is. It looks at what it could be.
Yes.
Now, intelligence will tell you what it is, but instinct will tell you what it could be. And if you have the instinct to increase, you look at that 5 and say, I can see you as 10. You look at that woman, you say, I can see you as a wife.
Yeah.
You look at that house, say, I can see you as a home. You look at that sole proprietorship and you say, I can see you as an LLC.
Yeah.
You got to look at it and stare at it to have the instinct to increase. Your life should double. In the next year, if you stare at what God gave you, your life is about to double into another dimension. If you stop being so busy babysitting all these deadbeat circumstances and just stand back and start staring at what God gave you, seeing its potential, its possibilities, if you stare at it, you can have increase. Somebody shout, increase. This is your year to increase. This is your year to increase. Somebody shout, increase. Now, God is not going to tell you. Nobody's going to tell you. Nobody's going to command you. You're going to go where you see no template and no model. You're going to be creative because you were created by a creator. You can't be created by a creator and not be creative. So you need to release your creativity over your situation so that you can turn it into increase. This is not going to come by command. This is going to come by instinct. Are you with me? Are you with me? Slaves have to be commanded. Masters have instincts. God will put you in situations, give you no command, but if you have instincts, he will bless you. Now, let's test this before I close. Because in the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, let every word be established. So I'm gonna call 10 witnesses to the witness stand. They may stink a little bit, but I'm going to call them to the witness stand. Some of them are handicapped, but I'm going to call them to the witness stand. I want to call 10 lepers to the witness stand. And they were standing afar off from Jesus and said, Jesus, have mercy on us. We want to be healed. Jesus didn't touch them. He didn't lay hands on them. He just commanded them, go show yourself to the priest. So all 10 of them were walking in commandments, doing as they were told. And as they walked in their commandments, the Bible said that all 10 of them got healed as they went. They had that in common. But 1 out of 10 got an instinct and said, I got to go back and tell him thank you. And the Bible said that when he ran back to to Jesus, he stopped walking in commandments and started walking in instincts. He stopped walking in law and started running in grace. He ran it up to Jesus. And when he got there, Jesus said to him, "Where are the nine? I didn't command them to do it, but I expected them to discover the instinct to walk in their destiny. Brother, one, all 10 got healed, but on your instincts, I'm gonna make you whole." There's a difference between being healed and being whole. Somebody jump up on your feet and give God a praise. Praise him. Praise him with your instinctive self. Praise him with your creative self. Praise him with your resourceful self. Let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. There's about to be a transfer. The people who are not using what they got, God's gonna take it from them and give it to somebody else. Somebody say, "I want it." Join hands with somebody. My God, my God, my God, my God, my God. You're gonna have to get out of the box on this. You're gonna have to break some rules on this. You can't think like a slave and enter into the joys of a master. The person you're touching has been under attack. The enemy wouldn't be attacking them if they weren't gifted. He's trying to distract you from what God gave you. Squeeze that hand. It's time to get your focus back. Back up off your life and stare at it. Stare at your resources. Stare at your giftings. Stare at your opportunities. Just stare at your relationships. You're not gonna get this by command. Nobody's gonna order you into this. You will have to stare at it, mull over it, focus on it. God's about to release the instinct to increase. Squeeze that hand. There's something rumbling in that woman. There's something burning in that man. There's something stirring down inside of him. God's about to give you your fight back. God's about to give you your fire back. He's going to speak something in you. He's going to give you favor, relationships, ideas, opportunities, dreams, goals. You don't have a pattern. You don't have a model. You are unique. You are fearfully and marvelously made. You have the instinct to increase. Father, I pray for every joined hand and every connected heart. Some have been buried beneath trouble and distractions and worry and problems. Help them to see. It is not the haters holding them back. It is not the finances that are holding them back. They don't need money. They need the instinct to increase. If you stir up their instincts, the money will catch up with them. You only invest in people who have discovered the instinct to increase. It's in that brother. It's in Sister Fear.
Yes, sir.
If she buries her fear, her latter day is going to be greater than her former day. Squeeze her hand. She got some digging to do. Hey. Pray for them tonight that they would enter into the joys of the next level, that they would enter into opportunities that their peers have never imagined, that tonight would be the night that they stepped out the box, crossed over the line, shattered the glass, entered into the next dimension. You will give them houses that they didn't build, vineyards that they didn't grow. You will set before them an open door. They will go in and out and find green pastures. Surely, 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 goodness and mercy, goodness and mercy, goodness and mercy shall follow them all the days of their life, in Jesus' name. Give him the best praise you got.
Give him a little bit more praise. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, that, I don't know about you, but that was.